6:15, North Ridgeville taking on Olmsted Falls and our Center for Orthopedics cage matchup tonight. We return to the hotline and we bring in Jeff Svoboda, Blue Jackets insider. Jeff, as always, we appreciate the time and a lot to get into today. I know that waiting in the wings right now, the Ottawa Senators waiting on the Columbus Blue Jackets, but we'll start by discussing last night's 1-0 loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Boy, a very, very disappointing loss for the CBJ. No Malkin, no Crosby, and for whatever reason, Jeff, it just seems like the Jackets have had a very tough time winning in Pittsburgh recently.
It's not just recently. It's pretty much the entirety of the Blue Jackets franchise. They've only won 4 times there in the history of going there. And they didn't play a whole ton back in the day. It's actually crazy that Pittsburgh is the closest road venue to Nationwide Arena. And the first about, you know, since they're in different conferences, the first 10 or 12 years, they just didn't play each other very often. So they've only ended up winning there 4 times. Had a chance for a 5th last night with, as you mentioned, all the injuries and situations that were affecting the Penguins, but just couldn't get it done. And it just was not a great performance. The word embarrassing was thrown around a lot today from the players and coaches talking in the media session this afternoon after practice. Not a great effort, and they're gonna. But at the end of the day, they got a point out of it, and they're gonna have to kind of use the motivation that they got from the way they didn't play the other night, or the way that they're gonna have to play here in Ottawa as we just arrived in here in lovely Canada.
The capital city of Canada for all those who want a little geography lesson. But, Jeff, going back to last night's game, embarrassing is probably a good word to be used for it, aside from one guy. I mean, Jonas Korpisalo stood on his head to keep the Blue Jackets in that game, forced it into overtime despite the fact the guys in front of him weren't doing much to help him out. And I feel like we've asked this quite a few times on the show, but when a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky leaves the team, a guy who's won 2 Vezina trophies in the city of Columbus, you kind of have to keep asking it. Does it look like Korpisalo is finally starting to settle in and really take things over and embrace that number one goalie position there for the Blue Jackets? Because it certainly seemed like it last night for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And at this point, I mean, there's no doubt who the number one goaltender is. This point, it's Korpisalo, and he's earned it. They came into the season with kind of a situation of how they were going to have to figure out both of the guys that they had, just because, you know, one had never played an NHL game, and the other had been a backup for 4 seasons. So it was just a matter of what were they going to get out of those guys who were both in very new positions, very new roles that they had never filled before. Korpi kind of was uneven at the start, got off to, you know, the first game wasn't his best, and kind of admitted there were some jitters there and just needed to kind of get into the games and kind of get into the season and see how things would go from there. But since then, you know, since November started, a save percentage of .920, 2.29 goals against average, those are pretty good numbers. I mean, those are almost Bobrovsky numbers, and the old Bobrovsky, not the one that the Florida Panthers have gotten this year. So, the way he's playing right now, they should theoretically be able to win some hockey games because they're getting the good goaltending.
Well, certainly you got to score goals to win those hockey games too, and it seems like the offense, when the Blue Jackets lose, it doesn't seem to get going. Is it just a flow problem, or what have you seen, I guess, from the offense? And I know you mentioned the one time they watched the goals. Obviously, the team realizes, hey, we got to do a little bit more here to help out our goaltender.
Yeah, and the crazy part is the numbers I just gave you, which includes, you know, a 2.29 goals against average in the last 14 games, which means basically, you know, right around 2 goals per game given up. You know, of those 14 games, they've won 6 or 7 of them. So they're about .500 in that span, Jeez. Which is just not good enough. Which means they're not scoring enough goals, as you said. That's 100% what it comes back to. And it, you know, by and large, there's been a fair number of games where they've played well and created chances to score goals. It's just the puck hasn't gone in the net, whether it's been, you know, bad luck, whether it's been the goalie making the save, or whether it's just been not being able to finish. And it's, you know, it's been a little bit of everything so far this year, which is kind of the part. When you're not scoring goals, it's always going to be that way. But that's what's so frustrating, though, too, is that it's not like there's one thing you can look at and say, okay, if we just, you know, do this better, it's going to be better. You know, yeah. It's some bad luck, it's some goalies playing well, and then it gets in your head a little bit, and you start, you know, trying too hard instead of letting it just flow. And, you know, offensive hockey has to kind of just flow. And when that flow's not there, then it gets in your head, and it goes from there, and it really just kind of, you know, builds from there. So that's really the situation they've got themselves into. They had some decent games recently as far as scoring. They've also had things that go the other way. I think the hard part about where they're at right now is now that they've lost the games that they've lost, you know, now they feel like, okay, we need to win a bunch in a row. And, you know, it's like they say in baseball, you can't hit a 500 homer. You know, you can't win 5 games in one night. And if you try to do that, you know, then you start worrying about the things you can't control, and that's when it gets even worse. And so it's kind of a tough spiral right now. And that maybe that's why you're seeing games where the effort is just not what it had been in the first 30. And so, you know, kind of see how things go from there. But it's a time where the goals need to start going in pretty quickly, or it's going to be a long year here.
Yeah, I was going to say, at this point, the Blue Jackets haven't played themselves out of the playoffs yet, but they got to start getting those goals and that offensive production, it certainly seems. And that brings us to tomorrow's game in afternoon against the Ottawa Senators. Does this become one of those games that Ottawa certainly had their struggles this year as well? Does this become one of those games where if the Jackets don't come out of this with a victory, you kind of scratch your head and say, come on, guys, I mean, what's happening here?
Yeah, I mean, it's too early for must wins, but this one feels like something close to it, as much as you can have in December, just because of how poorly the team played the last night. You know, if you have two bad efforts in a row with the situation that they're in, where they've only won 12 of the first 31 games, you're going to look at it and go, you know, where are we? What are we? You know, are we even able to entertain the thoughts of being a playoff team again this year compared to where we were the last couple of seasons? You know, you got to go in there and you got to redeem yourself based on the way that you played. And even if you don't necessarily, you know, win the game or get a point, you just got to play with a much better effort because, it can't really get much worse than it was last night. Something that they kind of said that they admitted today. That's just not my words. That's the words of the players and the coaches. So, yeah, no, certainly it's a situation where it's getting late early, as Yogi Berra used to say to a certain extent. I mean, at some point here, they do have to win some games. And, you know, coming into Christmas, there's six games left before Christmas, and if they don't get a fair number of points out of those, they're going to have to reevaluate kind of what they thought this year was going to be all about.
Good stuff. As far as the Blue Jackets are concerned, Jeff, now I want to ask you about you. I saw the video of your training with the Jackets skills guy. It lacked a little, Jeff, but I think you're getting better there as far as the skating goes.
Well, I must admit, we put the worst parts of the video in there to kind of show, you know, the comedic effect of the whole thing.
It was cut that way, huh?
Time, I will not say that I am a graceful skater by any stretch of the imagination either. So, but that was pretty fun. I kind of had that idea. Our skills coach, Kenny McCutton, and, you know, if you had a chance to read the article, I talk about how he doesn't just work with NHL teams and NHL players. He works with the best players in the world, regardless of whether they're on the Blue Jackets or they're on other teams or even, you know, the U.S. national team women's program. You know, he's worked with some of the best players in the world, and he's a great guy. So I wanted to get him out there and see what he could do with, you know, kind of an old fat guy like me. And it turns out the results were quite humorous, I would say.
Yes.
You know, but I only saw the one time that was in the video. I think all things considered, it could have gone a lot worse.
Yeah, my favorite part of it was you knew what was basically going to happen. Because I think before you do it, he shows you and you say, this isn't going to go well or something along those lines. And it didn't end up going well. But you did eventually get the tap in for the score. That was good job.
Well, the fun part, I knew as soon as he said, okay, do this drill with this kind of skating method, I was like, well, that's not my strong suit. That's where it's going to go wrong. And I was very much correct in that.
Well, the celly, I will say, when you finally got that tip in was a pretty good celebration as well. Then I did want to ask you as well, you also wrote a story about one of the young men from Florida who's come into the league and in the Blue Jackets program and got his first opportunity to start in front of his home fans. Pretty cool piece on that one. Tell the listeners a little bit more about it.
Yeah, it was a kind of a neat moment a week ago tomorrow. So I guess 6 days ago at this point, Andrew Peak, the rookie defenseman for the Blue Jackets, was called up about 2 weeks ago, got in his first game last Thursday, and then his second game was at Florida. And he's a guy that grew up in Parkland, Florida, about 15 minutes away from Miami. It's not easy to grow up in Miami to be a hockey player. He's more and more, you're starting to see as you look around the NHL, there's more guys from California and Texas and Florida than there certainly used to be. But at the same time, it's just not easy because the resources and all that are still relatively being built up. It was kind of the same in Columbus 20 years ago where, you know, before the Blue Jackets were here, the resources just weren't there to build, you know, high-level players. But, you know, you kind of see it, starting to see it now. That's the great thing about the NHL expansion over the years is that when these teams or when these areas get teams, you know, more and more kids play and it builds the game. And he was a guy that in his second NHL game got to go home and got to play in the arena that he grew up watching hockey games in and could even point up and say, that was my seat right there when I was coming to games with my dad. And I got to meet his dad, who's a character himself. And, you know, just a great family, a great kid. And he looks like he's a guy, you know, 21-year-old rookie out of Notre Dame. He's going to play for the Blue Jackets for quite some time. He's a guy who's going to be a longtime NHL player. He's got the goods, and he's kind of a neat story to see it all come together.
Very cool stuff. Well, again, tomorrow night, Blue Jackets take on Ottawa, trying to right the ship. Let's get a preview of tomorrow night's matchup. What can we expect tomorrow night in Ottawa?
Well, it's actually tomorrow afternoon. It's a 1 o'clock start. And these teams played right before the Thanksgiving holiday. it was a 1-0 win for the Blue Jackets. That kind of tells you what kind of game it was. There was only one goal scored. But Ottawa played, you know, pretty strong defensive team. They were the worst team in the NHL last year. They, you know, fired their coach. They kind of got a bunch of new players in. Those new players are leading the way for them right now, including Anthony Duclair, who was a former Blue Jacket who went there at the trade deadline last year. You know, they've kind of turned it around. You know, they've still got a long way to go, but you can see them pointing in the right direction with the young kind of movement that they've made. And they've got a lot of draft picks going forward as well. So their team, you know, they're still probably 2 to 3 to 4 years away, but, you know, they're a team that now is young and plays hard and is trying to, you know, kind of getting on that road to where they need to get to be good. So it's a challenge for the Jackets. Just it's always hard to play afternoon games. You know, I would say 75 of the 82 you play in a season are at 7 o'clock at night, which means your body clock is set to play at 7 o'clock at night, not 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, you got to build that energy somewhere and then go against a team that's young and hungry and is not going to give you anything. So that's kind of what the game's going to be. And the way the Blue Jackets played on Thursday night, they should have some energy because they didn't really expel a whole lot of it against the Penguins. So, you know, they're going to have to come out flying and really show it right from the beginning, or it could be a pretty long day.
Always great stuff. Jeff, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy Ottawa. And when we talk next week, there's something else I want to hit on. You wrote a real nice piece we didn't get a chance to hit on today about the Blue Jacket defenders, particularly David Savard, who now holds the Jackets' career record for blocks. That's a real man stat. A real man stat. So we'll dive into that next week. But, Jeff, thank you again for the time.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.